we will read, please, at verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Chapter 20 of the same book. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. A final reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we will read at verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's all I want to read this evening from Holy Scripture. And I've read these few New Testament verses with a view to draw attention to three stages in the spiritual life experience of Paul the Apostle, and particularly to emphasize as something that marked him at each one of these stages. In Acts 9 we have the commencement of his Christian life, a clear, definite conversion to God that made radical change in his life, and about which he could speak on various occasions, telling when, where, and how it took place. Acts 20 refers to what I will call this evening the continuance of his Christian experience. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 directs us to the close of it. Now I want you to notice that the commencement was marked by a desire to know the will of God. That we learn from the words that he used on the Damascus Road. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The continuance of his Christian life was marked by a determination to do the will of God. We learn that from what he said to the elders at Miletus. None of these things move me. Why? Determined to do the will of God. The close of his Christian life was marked by a delight at having done the will of God. He lies in the Roman prison awaiting execution and writes to Timothy and indicates to us something of the delight that filled his heart as he looked back over 32 years of Christian life, delighted at having done the will of God. Now, I believe that the will of God in the life of the Christian is perhaps one of the most important things. It was George Mueller, that man of faith and prayer, who said that he believed 9/10 of the Christian's difficulties would disappear almost immediately if they had a sincere desire to know and to do the will of God. We were noting the other night about David that God said he was a man after his own heart. And Paul sheds light on that expression in Acts 13 when he said, who shall fulfill all my will? And we remember how that the Lord Jesus, coming into the world, said, I delight to do thy will. Lying in blood like sweat in Gethsemane's garden, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Looking at these statements, no one could believe that the will of God is not important. Now concerning the desire to know the will of God, I want you to notice first of all that he sought instruction from the right person. He has letters in his pocket from the high priest. He's acting on their instruction. He's out to murder the saints. But now he gets saved. He seems to realize almost immediately, I've changed master. And he doesn't go back to the high priest and say, now look, there's a change. You'll need to give me new instruction. He doesn't. He leaves him aside. He doesn't go to his family and say, now look, I've become a Christian. I want you to tell me what to do. And notice, he doesn't even go to other Christians. That's above the priests, above his family, above other Christians. And listen to him. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He sought instruction from the right person. Notice, he sought instruction for the right person. Another disciple in the Gospels, standing listening to the Lord Jesus teaching, and apparently his mind was wandering. And he breaks in. He says, "Lord, what will this man do?" And you know, there'll be something like that in my heart, and it would be in yours. We would like to get instructions for other people, and like to give them to them, and see them carry them out. But here's a man, and he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with my life, with my abilities, with my time, with my money, with my associations? What wilt thou have me to do?" The right person. And notice, wasn't that he's made up his mind to be a missionary, an evangelist, a teacher, an overseer, and then comes to God and asks God to bless him in that? Seems no. His mind and heart, they seem to be quite open. And he says, "What wilt thou, the Lord, have me, Saul, the new convert, to do?" A desire to know the will of God. I wonder, I want you to think about this. Have we herein the answer to a question that's asked too often in these strange days in which we live? Why so many people professing to be saved? Maybe they are. They're baptized. And they're in the assembly. And yet, there seems to be so little purpose, direction in life. Is the answer here? You've been settled. Has there been time taken to get alone in the presence of the Lord Jesus, to look up at those hands marked by nails, that brow scarred with thorns, that side pierced, and aside from family and world and Christian as individuals, have we looked into his face and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Will you answer that, please? When did you have that, if ever? It would be a good meeting tonight if you had it before you slept. Expressing in the presence of the Lord who died for you this honest desire to know his will. Now, for your encouragement, will you note that? Sometimes it's not particularly easy to discern the will of God. I'll admit that. But will you notice that to this young convert who expressed that heartfelt desire, the message was given: "Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee." In other words, God said to him, "You act as I show you, and my will be revealed." And I believe that God is just as willing to guide me and to guide you as he was to guide this convert. Three things may have to be taken into account. For it has been pointed out that there are certain harbors, and when a pilot is bringing the ship into these harbors, this is the pattern that he follows. There are certain lights along the course, and he gets these lights in a straight line. And when he gets those lights in a straight line, he can go right forward. He's on a safe course. I believe there are three lights that we need to get in line. One is Holy Scripture, for let us be mercilessly clear, God never guides anybody to do anything that's contrary to the Holy Scripture. People have said to me, the Lord guided me to do this. I don't believe it for a minute, for it was contrary to the Word of God. God never guides contrary to the Scripture. I believe, secondly, there would need to be that inner conviction. And maybe that that Paul spoke of to the Colossians. The peace of God arbitrating, ruling. I have an inner conviction that not only is this the teaching of the Scripture, but this is God's message and mind for me. And with that, the light of circumstances. The three. But I want to leave that. Will you notice? The answer to this question for Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, first of all meant baptism by immersion. Maybe some of you ought to notice he was just 3 days saved when Ananias said, "Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized." It led him into assembly fellowship, a spiritual home, and it led him into a life of service that stretched from the Damascus Road to Nero's Block. A desire to know the will of God. But quickly, a determination to do the will of God. Now you'll agree that likely most of us know more than we practice. I don't think we could lay that charge at the door of Paul the Apostle. For it seems to me that every little bit of the truth of God that he knew, he put into practice. And you know, the Savior did say, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." It's not the truth that we know that makes us happy. It's the truth that we practice. That's what someone says. It was easy for Paul to do the will of God. Do you think so? I don't. In fact, I don't think it's easy for anybody to do the will of God. If we want something light, bright and breezy, we needn't attempt to follow the will of God. For it's not that kind of thing. Not easy. But don't let me discourage you. Let me help you. It's possible. Not easy for three reasons. One, the world's against it. And although we live in 1979, I think we should bear in mind that the world tonight is no more friendly toward Christ and the Christian than it was when it took our Lord and nailed him upon a tree and said, "Away with him, we'll not of this man." Don't think we should put a false color on it. The Bible says the friendship of the world is enmity with God. The Bible says that. I believe the devil is against it. Or the devil would look into this meeting tonight and see these young men and young women, and some a little older. He realizes this. My, if they would do the will of God, they'd turn the place upside down. Their lives would be fruitful. It'd be a blessing. Men would get saved. Saints would be helped. The devil knows that. And he leave no stone unturned to see to it that we don't do God's will. And then on top of that, our own evil hearts would be against it. For mind you, we should bear in mind that before we got saved, we had only one nature, and that was the old. But when we got saved, we got a second nature. For the old was not removed, nor was the old improved. We have two natures. And the old nature would be 100% against us doing the will of God. But let me repeat, while it's difficult, it's not impossible. And I look over this company tonight and I think of these young men and young women. And I would love that you would let it into your heart. It's possible for you to do the will of God. Would you like to aim at it? Like to make up your mind tonight in the presence of God? Others may do it alike. I'm hearing the voice of God. I'll try and do His will. Will you? Now, Paul had his difficulties about it. I'll run through them very quickly, for I have a reason. You'll see it in a moment or two. Wasn't long saved. Until he is saved to join himself to the disciples. That is, he wanted a spiritual home. And you know, God expects all his people to have a spiritual home. And if you look into the New Testament, you'll find there's only one spiritual home and visage. There's only provision made for the assembly. There's nothing for anything else. And Paul wanted to join that. But what did they do? Oh, they met him at the door and they said, "Brother Saul, we're delighted to see you. Come in. Get you to preach next Sunday, and in no time at all you'll be on the overset." Did they? Of course they didn't. They asked him some questions. They were very wary about him, for they weren't sure that he was right. What I'm getting at is this. They had a watch, and if it hadn't been for the timely intervention of Barnabas, he might not get in at all. Now, supposing I had been there, what would I have said? Well, I'm saved. I got baptized. You know, I wanted to be in the assembly. But you should have seen the way they looked at me. You should have heard the questions they asked me. As far as I'm concerned, I'll go my way and they can go theirs. I'll not be back. Did he? Of course he didn't. Why? Because it was the will of God for him to be there. And he quietly submitted and was received. And do notice, when he was there, he was with them coming in and going out. If you like, he was in fellowship. And when they went in, he went in. When they went out, he went out. You know what I think? I think Paul was at all the assembly meetings. And somebody said, who was it? I couldn't just quote it correctly now. If you want to know how many's in fellowship, drop into the prayer meeting through the week. Not how many's on the roll. How many's in fellowship. And he was with them coming in, going out. And then when he got the difficulty with the assembly fixed up, he had trouble with the world. And if the world gave him, if the assembly gave him a cold reception, I think you'd have to say the world gave him a hot one. For they stoned him and they dragged him out. and left him outside the city of Lystra for death. Now, had I been there and got myself a kind of pulled together, I just said, well, now, I got the difficulty with the church fixed up. Was right to be there. And it was the mind and will of God that I should go on with the gospel. But it's obvious it's not wanted. What'll I do? I'll go home. I'll put on my slippers. And I'll get my wife to sit down and play the piano. And together we'll sing Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. But you'll not catch me out preaching again, will you? Paul say that? Of course he didn't. Why? It was the will of God. I can't stay, for time doesn't permit me to enlarge further on those. But the reason I'm raising those two at least is this. It may be there's somebody here. And you have an exercise about the will of God. You may have difficulty in the assembly. You may have difficulty with the work. But tell me, will you do with these difficulties what Paul did with them? Or will you allow these to turn you aside? Today, none of these things move me. I've asked my Lord His will. He has shown it to me. And though it be difficulty inside or outside, from friend or foe, he said, my mind's made up. I'm going to finish my course. The close of his Christian experience. He'll not travel anymore. Never allowed to preach again. No longer converse with his friend. Soon about to lay down his pen. Just waiting for the dreaded footsteps of the executioner. But in fact, he says, Timothy, before that happens, I want to tell you something. He says, I want to tell you that I have fought a good fight. That I have finished my course, that I've kept the faith. He looks back and think of the delight that wells up in his heart. I have fulfilled the will of God. A well-known preacher, Dr. Stuart Holden, was a medical man as well. And he sat by the side of a young man that was dying. He said to the young man at the point, tell me, said he, is it well with your soul? Are you ready to die? And with tears, the young man looked up at the preacher. Said he, doctor, I'm ready to die, but I'm ashamed to die. I've wasted my life. And God knows I get stirred as I go about the country and see so very many nice young people. And I feel what a pity it's going to be if they allow the ambition, the associations, and other things of life to deflect them from the path of the will of God. Says Paul, I have fought a good fight. If, as Arnott said, the best he could say about it was, he had fought in a good fight. I sometimes say about certain Christians, they'll have to say, I have fought a good deal. And it'll not be to their credit. But here's a man. And he says, I have fought a good fight. For it seems to me, when he asked his question at the beginning, the Lord said, I'll engage you in a fight. All right, says Paul. I have fought a good fight. Said the Lord, I'll enter you upon a course. All right, says Paul, I have finished my course. Now, if he had allowed any one difficulty in life, now think about that. Any one difficulty in life, if he had allowed any one of these to turn him aside from that path, he could never have written, I have finished my course. Uphill, downhill, dark days, bright days, days alone, days in company, days of joy, days of sorrow, days of prosperity, days of adversity. All right, he said, right back. I have fit. And then said he finally, I have kept the faith. I believe the revealed body of truth. Any wonder he writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Timothy, continue thou. Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. You see, he could write those words, for this is that he practiced himself. A desire to know. I hope we'll all have it increasingly. A determination to do. May it mark every believer here tonight. And then, and God only knows how soon, that some who listen to me tonight, in a quiet corner somewhere, will be passing out. And wouldn't it be nice to feel, I have sought the will of God. I was determined to do it. And now, despite all my known weakness and faults and failures, I can look back and say, with delight, I have finished my course. May the Lord so bless his word that all of us will at least have increased desires to know something of it.